welcome to this Macbeth podcast. I'm Mrs. Dahl, and joining me to discuss the influence of the supernatural forces in Macbeth are...
Mr. Jones.
Annie.
Ava.
Chloe.
Okay. We don't mind when or where you listen, but if you're in a position to take notes, you should grab a pen and paper. So I'll begin with a question. How do the witches control what happens in the play?
We give our prophecies to Macbeth and Banquo, but in a way they don't fully control it because it's Macbeth who decides to take the prophecies on.
Yeah, but they target Macbeth because they know that his weakness is ambition. So they sort of control some of his decisions because they knew he would act upon it.
No, it's like they manipulate him.
Precisely, even Macbeth does, even though that's not relevant.
It is, though, because we'll talk about that in a minute.
You know, she goes on to start talking like the witches, mm-hmm. saying like how he's greater than greater. You know what I mean?
And she talks, she becomes the witches speak in something called trochaic pentameter. So they speak in a different rhythm to the other characters in the play. And Lady Macbeth also takes that on. Yeah. So she starts to speak in the same rhythm as the witches. Okay, because that's one of my questions as well. Do we think she's a little bit witch-like?
Yeah.
In what way?
Some of the things she says is a bit witch-like, because you wouldn't, like a normal person wouldn't actually do that.
Yeah.
So like, for example, when she mentions about bashing the baby's brains out.
Yes.
No one would do that. Like, no one would do that. But when she mentions that to try and control and manipulate Macbeth, it is a bit witch-like, because I feel like that's something the witches would mention to persuade him into something.
Is she witch-like, though, or has she just got a different point of view? Like, Miss Lyons always thinks that Lady Macbeth is a lot older than Macbeth. She thinks it's like a older and younger relationship. So if she's from a different, like, generation, then she's going to have different points of view on things.
Yeah, but the gun sex me here, though. So she wants the power of a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so she wants to not feel guilt. She doesn't want any of her womanly ways at all, her mothering ways. She wants to feel no guilt at all. So she wants that taken away from her. So in order to do that, she's kind of inviting witchcraft in, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other person who actually manipulates Macbeth is the witches as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the witches manipulating him, and then you've got his wife, Lady Macbeth, manipulating him. So it's almost still that similarities there, I think.
It's all the women. Or are they women, the witches? Unearthly creatures, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So it is. And you were right about the prophecies, because the witches feed him those prophecies at the beginning. And then they feed him the prophecies later on in the play to get him to do more, don't they? Or to feel invincible.
Yeah.
Okay, so they do feed him, but he's an adult in it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a grown man. He can decide what he believes and what he doesn't, and
yeah,
he decides to believe them.
Okay. How would the audience react to the witches, do we think?
Depends. Horrified.
So scared of them. Well, good point, it does depend on who's reading it.
Yeah.
Let's say we read it, we wouldn't be bothered.
No.
But let's say around the time the play was made, everyone would have been horrified and scared of them because they believed they were associated with demons, so
yeah.
Didn't want to go near them.
So that Jacobean audience watching it would have been like a horror film,
yeah.
Or like a modern day horror film.
Answer. So, in the exam, I put that in my exam.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, could we discuss that?
I
it's
thought,
like
the audience would feel like they'd be going to watch a horror.
Yes, they would. And every time they heard that thunder and lightning and they knew the witches were coming on, they would feel that fear, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Because they were so kind of against anything to do with witchcraft. They were also very religious. So they would be worried about things like Macbeth and Lady Macbeth's afterlife. Because that they would be really concerned about the fact that she, you know, they wouldn't be going to heaven. Lady Macbeth and Macbeth try and hide what they're doing from heaven, don't they?
Yeah.
Stars hide your fires. And she says, let not the peep through the blanket of dark. Okay? So we do kind of have that where they're trying to hide it. They don't want God to see what they're doing. So we do, they would be terrified, wouldn't they, and worried about them. So, without the witches, do we think the play would still have had the same outcome?
Would some things, yeah, other things, no. Because, like, even if he didn't know about the prophecies, some of them did come true. Like, he became Thane of Cawdor, and then he eventually became king. So even if he didn't know about the prophecies and he didn't murder anyone, he was Thane of Cawdor, and he would eventually become king.
Do we know that for a fact, though?
Exactly.
But the first prophecy came true, so you could have faith
that
the second
one
could as well.
Just because one thing comes true doesn't mean it will all come true.
And also, if the witches weren't there full stop, or even if they were there and Macbeth said no, the play would be completely different, because if Macbeth said no or they weren't there, they'd be relying on faith to turn a mouse into who it'd be, or even if it'd be that person at all.
I wonder what would have happened if Banquo, like, took action on the prophecies instead.
Yeah.
Because it's all about, like...
Probably would have been a similar storyline, really, though, wouldn't it? Because
yeah.
He said that his kids would be king, so he'd probably go through with killing Duncan and killing Malcolm and killing Macbeth and so on and so on, just to make sure his kids would be king, if it did end up that way. But it doesn't end up that way.
I still want to know whether his son became king or not.
And descendants of Banquo,
doesn't necessarily mean his son. Could be his great.
No, in real life they became kings.
There was
actually someone called Banquo, and descendants of his became kings of Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of made that prophecy come true as well. So it was very clever in the way you did it, Shakespeare. But yeah, but if the witches hadn't been in there, would Macbeth have ended up dead?
No. I don't think he would have died the way he did. Like, obviously, everyone's gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
That's the inevitable. But I don't think he would have went out in that sort of, the whole country is against him, compared to him defending.
I think the witches set the wheels in motion. But if they weren't there to set the wheels in motion, I don't think, obviously, most of the events would have happened.
Yeah.
But also, they picked the man, didn't they?
Yeah.
They picked
yeah.
the person
they
who,
targeted him.
Who they knew. A little push, and the ambition to take over.
Yeah.
So he had all the right circumstances. So I think it's a bit of an unhealthy balance between both the witches and himself, Macbeth. But I think without that initial push, probably wouldn't have happened the same way, I don't think.
You had a question, sir, didn't you? Didn't you have a question you wanted to ask?
I can't remember,
don't worry.
I can't remember.
So how else does Shakespeare use supernatural in this play?
The ghost of Banquo.
I was going to say the hallucinations, like Claire just said, and the dagger.
Yeah, the dagger hallucinates. So let's go on that.
On
blood on hands. Yeah, we've got all these different kinds of visions, haven't we? So let's think about the dagger. Why the dagger?
Because it wasn't very clear whether it was leading him towards killing Duncan or leading him away from killing Duncan. Like, even though it was Macbeth's vision, he still decided which way to go. Because it, like, there wasn't any particular direction of the dagger. And I think it was, like, it's supernatural because in the ordinary it would tell him not to do it. But it's a bit unusual because, one, he should be seeing it anyway.
Yeah.
And two, it's not being clear on the right path. Like, it's a bit diverted.
See, I think that he weren't going insane at all. He weren't even hallucinating. But I feel like the witches made him see the dagger to make him kill Duncan. So obviously, like, the prophecies could come true, and it was to torment him as well, because obviously they targeted him. And then, so yeah, I think the dagger was a sign to kill Duncan, but not just from the back of his mind, like, I think it was actually from the witches.
Yeah. Or was it Macbeth's excuse? It's leading me in that direction, taking me towards his bedroom.
Like, he's following fate.
Yeah. So, you know, is it his excuse to...
He might be following fate, but he's choosing to... He might be following fate, or he's choosing to go that direction. Like, fate or free will, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I always found interesting as well is the fact that when we first meet Macbeth, and he's a hero, and he's hefting this great big sword around, and these swords that he would have been killing with them would have weighed like 10 pounds, it would have been massive, and he's obviously a real strong soldier, because he's, you know, warrior, he's killing people with that all day. When he kills Duncan, He kills Duncan with daggers. Daggers were traditionally women's weapons of choice, and the reason that they were a woman's weapon of choice is because they could be hidden in the skirt, you know, they could have been hidden, so if they were ever attacked, kind of thing. So he's using a woman's weapon, and he's also using something that's usually concealed and hidden away. So I think that tells us a lot about the person he becomes in killing Duncan as well. That's the weapon of choice. It's a woman's weapon, and it's concealed, it's hidden. So he's trying to keep it a bit secret, isn't he?
Yeah, like some of the lady Macbeth says though, when like obviously she calls him a coward and calls him non-manly and whatever, and he does show that in a way because he is using a woman's weapon.
Yeah, he is. So he's not that brave soldier he was then when he's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different person. So we said the dagger, what else did we say?
The blood.
The blood on the hands, tell me about that.
Lady Macbeth obviously sees the blood on her hands, and she says, "Will her hands like never be clean?" Because it's sort of like a contrast. Because at first she was willing to like be like filled up with direst cruelty, and it's like at the beginning she's this like confident, manipulative woman who like doesn't feel guilty, but at the end it's showing that she is guilty and that guilt has driven her to insanity. But it's at the beginning she was with Macbeth when she wasn't feeling guilty because he was doing the actions. But at the end she wasn't with Macbeth, so it sort of like it gave her time to think about what she'd done instead of what he'd done.
See, linking to your point, that's what were you saying, that she feels guilty about the blood still being on her hands. She actually tells Macbeth once he finishes killing Duncan to wash the filthy witness off his hands. So now it's contrasting how she feels as well, because now she's told him to do it, she can't seem to do it herself.
Yeah, because did she ever actually not feel guilty? Because she quotes that if he didn't look like my father I would have done it, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Yeah.
So was she always guilty and it just didn't show, or was she like
Well, I don't think she felt guilty at first, because during the banquet scene, she's the one still holding it together.
Mm-hmm.
It's after that, it's once Macbeth starts to go rogue, isn't it? And as you said, starts doing things of his own accord. But also, Shakespeare has made her revert to a stereotypical Jacobean woman, as if to say to the women who are watching the play, don't step out of your place as a woman because you're not actually strong enough and it will catch up with you in the end.
Yeah.
So he's trying, don't listen to witches because they'll get you into trouble. Don't step out of line as a woman because that will also mean that you can't cope. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's
so
like he's telling them to stay in your place,
behave
and everything will be okay.
So the supernatural influence over this play, was there anywhere else?
When, I can't say it, Hecate,
yeah.
Yeah, when he came in, it's showing how, like, yeah, you've got the witches, but then the witches have also got a boss,
mm-hmm.
and then she's got a boss witch associated with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's showing supernaturals in, like, back in Shakespeare's time, you might have a witch as a neighbour, but then that witch is with a bunch of other witches,
yeah.
and they're getting controlled by, you know what I mean? So you might just think, oh, it's just one odd witch, and then you're just like, it can't be, because it's linked to the devil and everything.
It links to the royal man, like, it shows that maybe they're not so different from humans, because with the royal family, obviously there's the king, the prince, the whatever, so on, and they're basically showing and reflecting that it's like that with the witches as well.
Yeah.
Like, there'll always be that hierarchy, and there'll always be someone that's greater.
Yeah, great chain of being. The king is next to God.
Yeah.
So that's why the kings ruled, because kings were next to God.
The kings were chosen by God.
Yeah.
So it's like you've got God's side and the devil's side.
Yeah, split into. And it also brings it back to religion. Another place where it's used supernatural as well is Banquo's ghost.
Yeah.
And it's used really effectively there, because that's where we see Macbeth start to lose it. Isn't it? Because that's the point in the play. We see, he's starting to...
He knows he's done wrong now, but
yes.
he can't fix it.
Yeah.
Because doesn't Lady Macbeth cover for him?
Yeah.
Like, she says, does she say, oh, he's just hallucinating or something?
She says it's just a childhood illness and he's been acting this way, just ignore it, it'll go away, kind of thing. And then she realises it wouldn't because he's okay. Because this banquet that they're going to is their display of power as king and queen, you know, with all the people there, they're in power. And he, and when the ghost appears, he loses it. The ghost goes away and he gets, he's Macbeth again, and then the ghost comes back.
It shows that the supernatural has an effect on everybody, not just like the villain.
Yeah.
Like Jordan Shakespeare's time. People believed in like supernatural and all that stuff because there was no facts like science, so they believed in all that, and it's showing how like one person might follow the devil and the supernatural, but then that's gonna affect everybody, and that's why people didn't like witches, because like oh, there's a witch, all the crop, everybody's harvests are bad, you know what I mean? So it's sort of like reflecting on Shakespeare did very well like writing like a play or a poet or whatever linked to his time and what people would like.
Yeah, and to get favour with the king, which is what he wrote it for, really, because he wanted,
he wanted the king to like what he was doing. Yeah.
It's don't kill a king, don't believe in witches, women stay in your place, isn't it? And the fact that when Banquo's ghost appears, he sits in Macbeth's chair, it's almost like, that's where he belongs, isn't it?
Yeah, like
really,
this chair doesn't belong to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that he's pushed Macbeth, he's pushed Duncan off there, and Macbeth is there through false means, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just want to add just right there, the simplest form of supernatural in the play, I think, is the thunder and lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so relevant, and it's mainly used to, you know, represent like biblical meaning, thunder and lightning. So, like, you know, especially because the play starts with thunder and lightning before we see the witches, it's almost like a warning from God.
Yeah.
The way I see it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
back then, if anything bad happened, they would always blame the devil and the fact that someone had done something wrong and they were being punished for it.
And they were probably, as you write, they would probably see thunder and lightning as that kind of catalyst for bad things to start happening, wouldn't they? And then Shakespeare links it to the witches, so they would feel that it's a pathetic fallacy, isn't it? It sets the mood for the whole play.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else anyone wants to add?
No.